Yeah.
She's got like an auto send.
I'll call this meeting the House Finance Committee to order. We have a quorum to conduct business. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 1:38 p.m. on Friday, May 4th, 2018. Present today, we have Representative Ortiz, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Wilson, Vice Chair Guerra, Co-Chair Seaton, Representative Tilton, Representative Stutes, filling in as an alternate for Representative Grin, who was previously excused from today's meeting, Representative Guttenberg, Representative Thompson, myself, Co-Chair Foster. Before we start, just a reminder, folks can mute their cell phones. Today, the committee will hear HB 119, which is the ADA, Dividend to State Income and Valuation Bill by House Rules by request of the governor. The committee last heard this bill on April 17th. We had public testimony, and we did set an amendment deadline. The committee does have a CS before them today, and it's my intent, if it is the will of the committee, to move the bill from House Finance today. So with that, Mr. Terrio, if you could come to the table and put yourself on the record and just refresh the committee on the main points of the bill, and then we will go to committee questions. So with that, Mr. Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gene Terrio for ADA. Yes, just to refresh the committee members, the main part of the bill or original bill dealt with expanding the category of accounting adjustments that are backed out to get to true net income on a yearly basis, and then to take that true net income number into the ADA calculation for the percentage of revenue, true revenue, that is shared with the state on a yearly basis. Since the time that the dividend calculation was first put into statute, new accounting rules have come into place that cause the entity to book a number of paper adjustments that either overinflate or artificially inflate income or suppress income. We're still going to follow all of the required accounting rules to get our audited financial statement on a yearly basis, but then you, our owners, get to tell us what number to take into the dividend calculation. It would be our preference to take back out the paper adjustments, get back to true net income, and we would take that number into the dividend calculation. What it will do is smooth out some of the ups and downs in the dividend calculation and the amount of money that is shared to the state on a yearly basis.
Great, thank you. Are there any questions on the bill?
Not that part of the bill.
Okay, let's move to the adopting the committee substitute for HB 119. Representative Seaton, if I could have a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move committee substitute for HB 119 version 30GH1677/J be adopted by the House Finance Committee as its working draft.
Object for discussion.
Thank you. We have an objection. So I'd like to ask my aide at this time, Ms. Jane Pearson, to come to the table. If you could put yourself on the record, and if you could address the changes that are in the CS before the committee. And this is going from version A to version J.
For the record, my name is Jane Pearson, staff to Representative Neil Foster. There are basically two PILTs that are added into this project. One is for the Ketchikan Shipyard, and the other is for Red Dog Mine. And then the other change is there were some conforming and structural changes that were made in the drafting of the bill from our alleged legal to make sure it conforms with legislative drafting. And those are the changes in the bill. And I believe that Representative Lincoln is here, and he can talk to his piece, and Representative Ortiz is here, and he can speak to his piece.
Great. Also, I'd like to note online, to help answer questions, we also have former Ketchikan Borough Attorney Scott Erickson. And let's see, also in the room here, looks like online, we've got Yulia Ellsworth with ADA. So with that, maybe if we could first, and also Ellen Blackwell, Department of Education, If we could have Representative John Lincoln come to the table, if you could put yourself on the record, and if there's anything you'd like to state with regard to the addition in the CS that's you're interested in. So with that, Mr. Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is John Lincoln, representative for House District 40. The additional language in the CS, as far as the DeLong Mountain transportation system goes, is a reauthorization of a property tax assessment exemption for the ADA-owned property that connects the Red Dog mine to the port site where the concentrate is shipped out. This exemption's been in a statute for over 10 years and expired last November, and we're seeking to reauthorize it for an additional 10 years.
Do we have any questions, Representative Guttenberg, and then Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Lincoln. I'm looking at this white paper prepared by your office, Mr. Chair. Over the years, I have heard about the relationship between the PILT and the borough, and it looks like in this one you're setting up, I just had it here, a village improvement fund, and that was, and I'm not sure if that was part of the criticisms I've heard over the years. Could you address that, or are you up on that? Where the taxes went or the PILT went, or?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, I'm not sure what criticisms you're referring to. I know that the Red Dog mine has been a major blessing for the region and provide, you know, a lot of jobs, actually, you know, for the whole state. The benefits have gone statewide. The Northwest Arctic is a region of our state with a lot of unmet needs around water, sewer, and educational facilities. The borough and Tech, the operator of the Red Dog mine, just concluded strong and negotiations with each other that resulted in increased funding to the borough and the establishment of the village infrastructure fund and committee that's just now getting initiated. So the expectation is that there will be an increase of investment directly into the villages in the Northwest Arctic.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Wilson.
So could you tell me how this differs from what Fort Knox has to do in the Fairbanks North Star Borough? Are these exemptions normal when it comes to mining, or is usually all the assets taxed for property taxes?
Representative Wilson, through the chair, I'm not familiar with other mines and their arrangement with the property tax exemption. I don't know if they have ADA constructed or funded facilities. I'm just not familiar with those projects.
Follow up?
Well, it's kind of hard to understand, for me at least, from this. I mean, I understand it was an exemption before, but I wasn't here when the exemption, well, maybe I was here, don't know that it passed at that time. But I just, just to compare it with other mines and how they pay in versus what would be done at Red Dog, just so we're being consistent. But I'm not exactly sure how to, get the answers to that.
Representative Lincoln, and then maybe if Mr. Terrio could also come forward, and we'll have Representative Lincoln answer first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In response to Representative Wilson's comparison with the other mines, I think that this isn't an exemption for the Red Dog mine and property. It's an exemption for the Long Mountain transportation system that connects the mine to the port and is owned by the state through ADA. If a mine was already on the road system, for example, and had public access to their facilities, they would not need to have the same type of infrastructure investment that ADA provided in the Red Dog case. So I think that there are possibly some very fundamental differences between those two different operations. But hopefully Gene can answer more.
Mr. Terrio,
Mr. Chairman, put yourself on the record. Terrio, and the representative is right to Representative Wilson's question. The main difference is in Fort Knox, all of the facilities associated with the mine are owned by the mine. They're assets of the mine that's property of the mine corporation. And for the Red Dog DeLong Mountain Transportation System, ADA, the state entity, owns the port, the road facilities. It's operated by the mine through an operating agreement or non-exclusive use agreement, but it is an asset of a state corporation, state entity. And so it's how that that asset or the use of that asset can or should be evaluated for purposes of local contribution to education, things of that nature. But it is a state-owned asset, whereas the Fort Knox facilities are owned by the private entity.
So a follow-up?
Representative Wilson? Oh, I'm sorry. Also, Mr. Terrio, if you could just, for the record, also the organization, I know it's ADA and your position, just for the record.
The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, and I'm their governmental affairs and legislative liaison.
Great. Thank you. Representative Wilson?
So what does ADA still own it then? Because it sounds like it's there for the purposes of Red Dog, and I'm sure they needed the help finance to get the, you know, to get the facility going. But now that it's been going for as long as it has, is it normal for ADA to continue to own things? I mean, the port to me is completely different, but the road itself, because it really does put the mines who compete in the same type of realm kind of at a disadvantage if, for instance, Fort Knox owns all their facilities, the roads, everything that's in it, and are all counted as assets, versus here now we're kind of splitting the mine and the road and port separate. And like I said, the port, I mean, it wouldn't be unusual that somebody would own the port versus the mine, but the road, since it, you said it's an exclusive portion of that, would ADA ever look at it, or what is the purpose of ADA still owning it at this point?
Mr. Chairman, there could be additional mine properties that are developed that ultimately could use a portion of the port facility or transportation system. It was just when it was created, the determination was that ADA would own it and use its ability to access the financing market to secure, you know, favorable financing. If other mines in the state, as they prepare to develop, believe that doing so in conjunction with ADA helps them, it's something that certainly ADA is always open to an entity coming in and proposing that. But if they choose to develop with their own access to capital, we're, of course, supportive of that, but it just doesn't involve the enterprise.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up?
Well, I thought you said they had an exclusive, so it sounded like Red Dog was the only one who had access on it. Maybe I misunderstood that when you said it. Has the financing been complete, and or is there still – or is the road still being paid off?
It's still being paid off. The original financing still has some time to go, plus there was a large expansion project that was financed a number of years back. And it's my understanding that the payments will be coming back to ADA for decades yet.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up.
And that expansion, is that on the road, or is that actually with the facility or with Red Dog itself?
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask if John Springsteen is on the line. I believe there was a combination of things that were all part of the expansion.
I don't see a Mr. Springsteen online, just in case. Mr. Springsteen, are you there? No.
Okay.
Representative Wilson?
I guess I'll just wonder.
Any further questions, Representative Kawasaki?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you give me an example? I'm just trying to figure out. The only example that I can think of would be like the road to Pogo, which ADA owns. Is that correct still?
I believe so, yes.
And so, although that's not in a place that has, so would that be a similar road as we're discussing in terms of the road to Red Dog?
Actually, Representative Kawasaki, I'm not sure that ADA does own that road. I believe it was developed as a, you know, it's not a general public road, but I think that was just the way it was permitted with DNR and constructed.
Okay. let me think of another example. The docks in Skagway that collapsed and then ADA built. So the Skagway docks are similar. Are those? Would that be similar to, say, the Ketchikan shipyard?
Yes, it's an ADA-owned asset.
So, through the chair,
Representative,
I guess, would we have expected somebody from Skagway to ask for something similar to what Ketchikan is asking for now?
Mr. Terrio?
It depends what structure they would have access to the infrastructure. You can see here on page 2, it is specific that it's an interest created by an operating agreement or non-exclusive use agreement. So it would be potentially covered if it is being utilized under that type of a structure.
Okay, let me just think about it. Thanks.
And Representative Lincoln, you had a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just contributing to the conversation around the initial investment by ADA and paying it off. I'm not totally familiar with the cost of the expansion, but the initial investment, at least for the road and port, was on the order of $265 million. And to date, TEC has paid ADA almost $500 million. And in just last year, fiscal year 17, paid $24 million to ADA for use of the DMTS. So it's a highly lucrative property for ADA. And I know that people in our region, our borough, are very interested in getting some ownership of that property if we could. But
yeah. Representative Wilson?
Which is kind of my point. I mean, you know, nothing against ADA, but I would rather see that money going to the borough and to the school system that they have there, which is pretty extensive, a lot of costs that goes into it, and that's why the question's on at what point, you know, does ADA finally say that it can go, the financing has been done, we've gotten the money back that we had invested in more than that, and then does it go through some kind of process, whether or not it would be better for the state at some point to give it to, whether it's the development, you know, so that it could be utilized within these property taxes and help the area, because they can't pay both. And so I had a choice. It would go to the borough versus to ADA at this point.
So,
Representative Kawasaki.
So I think I have another example. So the Nanana Bridge and Nanana Road, is that an ADA facility, an ADA-owned road?
I do not believe so.
It's not. Okay. I'm just trying to think. So, through the chair, I'm trying to think of examples of which that are exactly like these, in which we would do exactly the same thing, essentially. So you have to have a municipality that has property tax collection responsibilities, gets payment in lieu of taxes, I guess, is the thing, and then has a facility that's an ADA-owned facility that's under some sort of an agreement, right? Can you think of any others that do that then?
Mr. Terrio?
I'll call on perhaps Yulia at the ADA office can give an example.
Ms. Yulia Ellsworth, if you could put yourself on the record, name and your organization title.
Yulia Ellsworth, Cutsboro River Data. I am trying to think about examples that would be similar to this situation, but I cannot come up with a good example at this moment. I do not know of similar arrangements for any other assets that ADA owned.
Thank you.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in the context of the Ambler Road, which is being developed, where there is no borough, right, there's Doyon land and there's National Reserve land, and there's no, I don't think it doesn't go through any of the organizational part of Hughes or Allakaket, comes off at Dalton. How is this different, or is the model relevant to both? Just trying to get that big picture, right? How is the relevance between those two?
Mr. Chairman, to the question, a portion of the Ambler Road would be in the Northwest Arctic Borough, or maybe if it is developed. Right now, we're only in an EIS process, and so the actual plan under which the road would be developed. There's a suggestion that it may be like the DeLong Mountain Transportation System, but until we get through the permitting, know that it can be permitted and financed, those final deals and absolutely knowing whether it would be operated under, you know, an operating agreement similar to this or non-exclusive use, those decisions have yet to be made. But there is the possibility that it would look very much like the Long Mountain Transportation System.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Representative Gettberg.
In the context that ADA would build it and the mine developer would pay to a use for have access to it and basically pay off the bonds or the upgrade and the maintenance and all of those things. In that context, it's the same.
It could be very much the same, yes.
Okay.
Representative Guerra and then Pruitt.
Thank you. So to either of you, just so I understand it in the simplest terms, the language, at least on the leasehold interest, would be to allow the leasehold interest that Tech is using, that ADA owns, but the leasehold interest to be taxed through a PILT, and that PILT goes straight to the borough, and that's about $800,000 a year, and that's how it's been done before the expiration of the language that is being extended in this bill.
Mr. Terrio?
Mr. Chairman. Well, the language before you basically just gives an exemption for the value of that leasehold or operating agreement interest to be excluded from the calculation of a required local demand. Now, it's my understanding that the mine actually does give a payment in lieu of taxes to the local governments, but that's outside of this. This basically is just making sure that it's not included in the calculation of the state required contribution.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Representative Pruitt.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I was just going to add to the conversation that we were having earlier. I mean, on the third page of what the co-chair gave us in our packet, it actually highlights the difference between the FedEx hangar and Skagway docks, which are leased, and DeLong and the shipyard, which are under operating and user agreements, which are very different. And as the leaseholder, FedEx, for example, has the ability to make all the money that they want. They could sublease it to someone else. Whereas in the example used here is the shipyard has to have a certain amount of money set aside for repair. They have at a certain point of profit, they have to give some of that back to ADA and the communities. So I think that's probably from what I read and the information that's in front of us, it's probably the best way to segregate out the very distinct differences between the two projects that we're talking about and other ADA assets that might be leased to individuals. So I just hope that helps.
Any other questions on the Red Dog portion of this? Representative Wilson?
Do we know what the value currently is of not the mine portion because they're already being assessed at? Has the road and the port itself been assessed by the borough or in any fashion?
I don't believe it's been assessed by the borough. I can certainly provide you information in the total investment that's been made in the facilities.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up.
And is there any process that ADA has at this point in which at a certain point, we've made our money back plus whatever, I think there's a certain percentage ADA is required to do that gives an opportunity for, whether we're talking about the shipyard or we're talking about this, that you would go back to that group and say and possibly negotiate sale of it? I'm just trying to figure out I know why you want to own it because you're making a lot of money, but where does it tilt, the scale tip to where it would be more advantageous for the local communities to benefit versus just the state?
Mr. Terrio?
Mr. Chairman, I think at this point, ADA is very happy to continue the ownership. It has been lucrative for the state. It helps us actually achieve our statutory mission in the statutes to invest in infrastructure, pay a dividend to the state off of the operation of that infrastructure and use of that infrastructure, but also generate funds that can actually support additional economic activity. And so at this point, I don't believe there's been any past entertainment of divesting of the infrastructure. I'm not sure if the mine actually has been interested in purchasing it outright. we have talked about the initial financing, and then there was an expansion. I think the continued access to ADA's ability to access financial markets at a very favorable rate was desired by the company. And so I think they've been supportive of continued operation with state ownership.
I mean, a good business would keep it, there's no doubt. And that's why Red Dog, being a good business as well, would want to take it over. But I guess when I thought about ADA, I guess until this bill came forward with this, you know, these extras in it, I thought that ADA's primary was to really be the financier on projects that maybe are great for Alaska but maybe couldn't do as well out on the market. But now, you know, owning it within the private market kind of makes it – I just want to make sure that our districts are also taken care of and we don't impact them negatively. Thank you.
Do we have any further questions? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Lincoln. And Mr. Terry, if you'd like to stay up here we've got – did you have any comments before we move to the Representative Ortiz's?
No, Mr. Chairman, just Ms. Pearson did mention that there were some stylistic changes by the drafters. This is the first time, even though this legislation has been in the hopper in one iteration or another for the past 3 years, it's the first time that a CES has been triggered. And so your legislative drafters had just a little bit of different form to put the ADA dividend language in, and ADA is fine with that. I've checked with our advisor in the Department of Law. And then just on the mechanism for the facilities, the Section 1 actually puts the exemption in place. Section 2, then you'll see the language is then removed. And the last section, the effective dates, put the exemption in place, and then 10 years from now remove it. And so that's the way that that extension for the 10 years takes place.
Okay, anything else?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you.
Mr. Terry
or somebody else, I'm not sure. So in this document that's from ADA, dividend sectional analysis, I mean, it obviously, the references are wrong, but that doesn't matter. So looking at the amending the definition of market-to-market fair value, is that the, and it's where we're doing an adjustments based upon GATSBY and GAAP to make sure it conforms. Is there anything else we're missing? Is there another way that those calculations are made or those definitions are the only way that's done? Are we just going down? Is there just one road that we're going down to conform with that? Or have we taken options, not done option A, not done option B, but this is option C in the way we do the market, mark-to-market value, fair value adjustments to conform? Are there other options that we didn't take in changing those definitions that have been bringing it up to the current the way it's currently defined?
Mr. Terry?
Mr. Chairman, those requirements, back when the ADA dividend was put in statute, those accounting requirements didn't exist. That's the issue, is the legislature at that time didn't anticipate these new things coming into being. And again, we still will follow all of them to get our appropriate audited financial system at the end of the year. What we're just asking for is that those mark-to-market adjustments be added to the list of things that are then excluded or backed out before we take a number then into the calculation of the dividend. So if you'll look on page 6 of the bill, on line 7, which is existing statute, you can see, for the fiscal year at the end of that, excluding amounts. So previously the legislature knew there were some things that they wanted backed out or excluded, but they hadn't anticipated these new accounting rules and the paper adjustments that they would cause, and didn't know to include those in the list of exclusions. And so what we're doing now is just adding those to the exclusions.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
So I understand that, and that's fine. I guess my question is, and trying to figure out how to say this where I'm putting up as narrow boards as I can, is this the exclusive way to do this value accounting? or are there other ways that could have been done? Because I know when you're dealing with a lot of these things, we deal with it in oil taxes all the time. What are the tax codes define those things? So is this the exclusive remedy we have to define those things in this scenario?
Mr. Chairman, I'll venture a guess and then have Ms. Ellsworth weigh in as using her accounting background. I believe it is the exclusive way, and it certainly is the way that dovetails the best with the existing statutory language, where we already have certain things that are to be excluded, and we're just adding a few new adjustments that were not contemplated at the time.
Representative Gutberg.
Mr. Chairman, Kim Carroll,
Ms.
I would agree that this is the only way to comply with the requirements mandated by Governmental Accounting Standards Board, and to be in compliance with all the requirements. This is one way to account for market mark-to-market accounting, and this is a governmental accounting. Each industry has different options, but for a governmental entity, we have to follow this rule in this way.
Representative Gutberg?
I think she came close. So this is the standard exclusive way the governments do this?
Correct.
Okay.
We have any further questions? Seeing none. Oh, feel free to stay up, Mr. Terrio. We'll go to the next portion here. There might be questions. Representative Ortiz, if you could maybe discuss the Ketchikan portion here, and if you could put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dan Ortiz. I represent District 36, Southern Southeast Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for agreeing to hear this CS today, and for specifically the Ketchikan portion, Ketchikan Shipyard portion of the CS. Mr. Chairman, the state of Alaska, through the legislature and the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, almost 40 years ago decided the shipyard in Ketchikan would be a good investment to keep Alaska work on the Alaska Marine Highway and local ship repairs, to keep that work within the state, providing construction jobs and overall benefit to the economy, keeping those benefits here in the state. The facility opened for work in 1987 and expanded its services, its size, and its workforce since then. It continues to expand. ADA owns the shipyard, and Vigor Alaska currently operates the facility under a 10-year contract with ADA. The agreement expires in 2025, and Alaska currently operates the facility under, the agreement expires in 2025 and may be extended to 2035. This, Mr. Chairman, the Ketchikan Shipyard is a success story. The shipyard employs about 270 workers at an average salary of over $80,000 a year. The shipyard portion of the CS before us today would clarify the question of whether the perceived value of Vigor's Alaska long-term operating agreement for use of the ADA-owned tax-exempt property should be included in the state's calculation of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough's required minimum local contribution to schools. Mr. Chairman, when first established, the state treated the shipyard operating agreement as outside the required minimum calculation. It had an exemption. The state, as it treated the DeLong Mountain Transportation System, the ADA-owned road and port used by the Red Dog Mine that we just spoke about. But then in 2012, the state adopted a different position based on its reading of the statute and started to include the assessed value of the shipyard agreement in its calculation of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough's required minimum contribution to schools. The bill before us today would extend the exemption for the ADA-owned DeLong Mountain Transportation System to 2027 and add language to clarify that the Ketchikan Shipyard shall be treated the same for purposes of calculating the local minimum share of education funding. In reference to Representative Wilson's comment about, being treated similarly or being consistent, and that's kind of what we're asking for, that we be treated consistently with the way that the ADA-owned facility is currently being treated at DeLong Mountain. So, much like ADA's decision to invest heavily in the Interior Energy Project to serve Fairbanks, the state's decision to help fund a gas pipeline extension to Homer, and consideration of a road to the Ambler Mining District, the Ketchikan Shipyard helps put Alaskans to work while boosting the economy. And I appreciate your support for this particular CS portion, the Ketchikan Shipyard portion of the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Mr. Cherio, do you have any comments on this?
Mr. Chairman, as the representative indicated, it would bring the two facilities that are owned outright by ADA, not leased, you know, long-term to entities, but are operated under, as you can see on page two, an operating agreement or non-exclusive use agreement. It would treat them the same, and I think there is some benefit to ADA for anybody in the future that wants to engage with enterprise on infrastructure and operate it under this type of a structure versus a long-term lease, that they would be able to see that there's some consistent application of the law.
Thank you. Representative Wilson?
So help me understand how this is with the energy project in Fairbanks currently, unless it has to do with a recent purchase of Pentex. But right now, as far as ADA's involvement in the gas project, they're all loans at this point, which our constituents will be paying back if they ever get gas. So are we talking about the overpriced Pentex that ADA okayed to buy?
Mr. Terrio?
Mr. Chairman, at the end of the month when that deal closes, the representative is right. The locally consolidated and controlled enterprise will have been paid for with a mix of state grants, outright grants, and loans that the constituents will be paying back. And so it will not be enterprise that's got ongoing ADA ownership.
Representative Wilson?
So there's really no connection between the gas project and how it's handled by ADA and a shipyard, that the whole facility is owned by ADA?
Other than the fact that ADA was a means by which the legislature assisted with the infrastructure.
Right. Follow-up?
Follow-up.
And I am 100% ADA being able to help assist those to be able to get loans and then let the private industry go. I am very concerned that we're going to start owning it and then say that they're not part of the school formula, because, since we're talking about fairness here, might as well put everything out there. So one of my beefs in Fairbanks is they also count personal property as part of the formula when it comes to what you have to do. And so I love our military dearly, but when they've been on away over overseas, they get big payments when they come back, and they thankfully spend it. You know, but they usually move with what they spent it on, but yet we end up with a big formula of what we then have to do as far as what our take is on that. So maybe the formula needs to be changed. I guess where my concern is here, we're not talking about a road anymore. We're talking an actual facility in which I would imagine it's valued at a pretty high amount. Do you know how much the shipyard is currently valued at by the borough?
Mr. Terrio?
I'm sorry, I do not.
Representative Ortiz?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wilson, we do have Scott Brandt Erickson online who could give you that exact figure.
Thank you.
Mr. Scott Brandt Erickson, if you could put yourself on the record, name and affiliation.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Scott Brandt Erickson here, currently unaffiliated. I formerly was the borough attorney in Ketchikan, and now I'm just a private citizen. The assessed value for the shipyard in Ketchikan is approximately $27 million for the assessment at this point. I may be off by a million or two. In the assessment 2 years ago, it was $29 million, and that amount was going down by about $2 million each year as the term remaining in the current operating agreement term is reduced.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up.
And then, and I'm sorry if I don't know that this was kind of new to me here. So do you do a payment? Is there a PILT now with the shipyard and the borough?
There is not a PILT that is paid. the operating agreement that ADA has with the shipyard has a number of components. Among them, if the shipyard happens to be profitable above a certain level, there's an opportunity for some revenue sharing with both ADA and the communities. There is not an existing tilt, and there has not been for the past decade or two of operation of the shipyard.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up.
And do you know whether or not there's been any revenue sharing lately that's gone on between between ADA and the borough?
To the best of my knowledge, the borough has not received revenue sharing from the shipyard. It's not, unlike the DeLong Mountain facility, it's not a terribly profitable operation. The function is more providing jobs and providing a service for marine highways. The break point for some sort of profit sharing to occur is about 7.5% net profit. There is a dividend and payments that go to ADA and are set in a reserve fund for replacements. Those payments are made even if that profit level is not reached. But the borough itself has not received payments, no.
And a follow-up with Mr. Terrio.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you. And Mr. Terrio, you talked about a little bit a while ago when we were talking about the Red Dog portion of it and how highly profitable it was, and it kind of keeps your numbers up. I'm assuming that this doesn't make the amount of money that you normally try. I can't remember if it's like 7 or 8%, because I remember that was part of the whole Fairbanks talk on how much ADA had to be. What is the percentage that ADA tries to make off their projects, and then how much percentage does this particular shipyard do?
Mr. Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The point of reference that I have is the suggested return that ADA was looking for when it invested in the Pentex asset, and that was 5.06%. And so within all of our investments, as you've just heard, the Ketchikan one, they make their operating payments, but it's not a highly lucrative. Depending on the commodity prices, the Red Dog can be a lucrative and actually pay an extra dividend to the state or to ADA. And so it's a mix. And the average at that time was 5.06%.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up.
And so in the last couple of years, could you tell me what last year, what was the percentage that was paid to ADA from the shipyard?
I would have to go to Yulia to see if she's got that at her fingertips.
Ms. Ellsworth, do you have that figure?
Representative Wilson, as of last fiscal year 17, ADA received approximately $400,000 from Ketchikan Shipyard as a revenue sharing, which went into the R&R account, which is used for the ADA to pay to help Ketchikan Shipyard with maintenance and replacement based on annual requests.
So follow-up?
Follow-up.
So they gave you $400,000, but they really didn't give you $400,000 because it went back in for repairs and other things for the shipyard? And if so, then what was the actual bottom line number that was received?
ADA received about $400,000 that physically went into an account. And then during the year, Ketchikan Shipyard requested to assist them with the replacement work that they perform above the required amount, and we pay them back for that amount. So I do not have the bottom line, the net number at this moment, but I can get back this information.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Ortiz.
Mr. Chairman, I just also like to remind the committee we're talking about a kind of different type of a project that ADA is supporting here. The shipyard, if it were to go to try to generate huge profit, it would be at the expense of repairs being done on the marine highway system, so it would be billing the state back in order to generate those profits. So it's just a little different model than the gold line up in Red Dog.
Representative Wilson.
But I guess that's my point. Even with Red Dog that we're talking about, at what point I mean, especially on this particular project, if ADA's not making the 5% that they're supposed to, you know, is it time to look at private hands that might handle it differently? And I don't know whether they would be able to, because there's a lot more play going in here, because we own the Marine Highway and the ships that are being worked on at that portion versus having private ships, you know, commercial ships coming in and going to a different marketplace. So I know it's probably a little harder to come up with the numbers, but we've got two projects that are very different. One that's paying into a PILT and paying separately beyond a road, and then a project here that basically just doesn't want to be on the tax rolls, and then the state has to pick up extra because the numbers will change. So I'm just trying to – it's my first time hearing the bill, even though we had amendments. It's a very different bill than when we had amendments due last time.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate the conversation. You know, thinking about this, the difference between the Long Mountain project, which is facilitates the world's largest zinc mine, which has huge production all the time, and the shipyard, which is basically a giant tool shed, you know, where things come in, get fixed, get built, and leave. It's not producing things except an infrastructure, fixing our marine highways, maybe building some boats, facilitating jobs, but it doesn't have a product other than that, like the zinc does. And I would love to think that it could be giving ADA dividends like the Long Mountain project, but it's just, I think we're looking after our own interest in having that facility there.
Mr. Chairman and
Mr. Iturio,
the representative is right, and although, you know, I gave the 5.06% is sort of the average rate of return at that time. If you really look at ADA's statute, the policy that's set by the legislature that is enshrined in statute, ADA really is an entity to invest in infrastructure, create opportunities for jobs in Alaska. Sometimes that investment supports jobs, and that's about all it can do. And sometimes it supports infrastructure that has an ability to pay back more. But really, the statutory direction for ADA is just to have that infrastructure in place to support economic activity and jobs in the state of Alaska.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions on the Ketchikan Shipyard piece? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Ortiz. So now that we've heard the CS, we do have an objection on the table. Is the objection maintained?
I remove my objection as a working draft.
Okay, thank you. The objection is removed. Are there any further objections? Hearing none, the CS for HB 119 version 30-GH1677/J is now before us and adopted as a working draft. And I guess before we go to fiscal notes, are there further questions on the bill itself? Representative Wilson.
Well, this is I know you want to pass it out, and I can object and vote no and get outvoted, and that's okay. But, you know, when you change bills this much, and nobody came and talked to me about either one of these projects, and they're very different projects, one on which I completely agree with and believe that they should do it, the other one that I'm still not sure about how it all works out this. But I also have another question, because we were approached earlier in the year about a graphite mine. That seems like it fits everything, and it's not my district, and I can't even tell you which district it's in, because but it just seems like if ADA bills always like to be Christmas treed. I mean, we all know that, and I've always been okay with, as far as putting more projects in, because if ADA does the work that they do and they make sure that all the numbers are going to come out, why wouldn't we want to help more development happen? But this bill, to me, is very different with the shipyard in it, because we're asking for that value not to be done only because it's owned by ADA and not owned by private hands. I just guess as we start down this line, the other one the Red Dog one, my only question on it is, why don't they own the road, which I'm sure they would like to. Is in a little different, but we're talking about an entire structure here when we're talking about it. And I don't want people to start saying, I don't want to lease some from ADA anymore. I want them to own it so I don't have to pay the property tax that goes in it. And I don't think that's I just don't think it's a path as a legislature we want to go down. So for me, this bill now is about a policy call that I've never, I mean, it happened in 2012, I was here, but I don't remember the discussion on why Ketchikan was and then it wasn't. But I'm more concerned with the policy call here today to just pass this out without much more conversation on whether or not we want ADA to start going in a different direction and start owning facilities versus leasing facilities. Because with them leasing the facilities, as we already heard, then they are responsible for property taxes and putting into the schools and other areas on that. So it's, to me, it's not so much about the fiscal note on it. It's, to me, a policy call that I just don't know enough history about what else we've done like this and where this may go after it leaves here. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Are there any further comments or discussion on this? Hearing none, I would agree things are moving at a quick pace here, and unfortunately that seems to be the case every year at the end of session here. But I think the bigger picture is it is a policy call, and I think we all have a different idea on how we want to move forward here, and I think maybe the best way to resolve that, one option would be to take it up at a later date, but just with the end of session, I think maybe if we just put it to a vote, that'll be a reflection of how people feel on this policy call. So, Representative Gutberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there a companion bill on the other side, or is this the only version?
I believe there is a companion bill. Ms. Pearson, if you could come up and...
For the record, my name's Jane Pearson, staff to Representative Neil Foster. There is a companion bill on the other side. It is currently in Senate Finance. It is the underlying bill of 119. I believe it's SB 172. SB 57. So this bill would meet up in Senate Finance.
Representative Gutberg, did you have anything further on that?
That was my question.
Okay. Representative Kawasaki?
This is a question for Gene, actually, for Ms. Chera. So a question just to kind of understand how ADA operates and why ADA would choose, say, a long-term lease as opposed to some sort of an operating and use agreement. Is there sort of a matrix that ADA and the board would go through in deciding a lease makes more sense, a 10-year, 20-year lease makes more sense as opposed to to what we have here in the Ketchikan Shipyard and DeLong Mountain issue where they have an operating and use agreement?
Mr. Chairman, to the question, I'm not sure that there's a decision-making matrix. A lot of it would be under what structure does the user of the infrastructure want. So in the example that was brought up, the FedEx facility, there was a desire for them to just have a long-term lease on that. And when the project was proposed, that's the way it was proposed to go forward, that the control of it would be done under a long-term lease. And so for the DeLong Mountain and the Ketchikan Shipyard, for whatever reason, the decision was to advance under this operating agreement instead. And to one of the earlier questions, when a project is proposed in an area, ADA, before it can go forward, has to actually go and get the support of the local governments, local governing bodies for the project. And so if the Ketchikan Gateway Borough had not wanted this to be operated under this type of a structure, they could have withheld their approval at the time. So a lot of people just don't know that there are these requirements, that ADA just doesn't go out and invest in things that are against the wishes of the local elected bodies. They actually have to confer with and get the approval of the local bodies before they go forward with the project.
Super. That's very good information for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further questions? Representative Wilson?
So maybe it's not the appropriate time, but since this one likes to have babies anyway, why wasn't the graphite one looked at? I mean, why didn't we not at least discuss the merits of it, because again, it sounds like it fell. And I don't know enough about the project except that it is a project, and they're just looking for the same consideration as Red Dog did and other mines have done Did anybody look to see whether or not it measured up or has, you know, Ada, are they in favor of something like that or?
I can answer that. The graphite one mine, the proposed mine, is just northwest of Nome, so it's my district. And at this point right now, the graphite one had wanted to move forward with being added to a bill for the project. And right now, there's a lot of concern in the region. Teller and Brevig, two villages that are close to the mine, with regard to subsistence and things like that. And so I've asked Graphite One if they could work the issues out with the local communities, with Nome, with the regional Native nonprofit, and get us some letters, resolutions of support, just to show that there is support in the community, and then at that point we could move forward. So at this point things aren't stopped, they're just on pause. And so
I appreciate that. Thank you. That's very helpful.
I think, Mr. Terrio, did you have a comment on that?
No, Mr. Chairman. We're happy to work with them. We think it is an exciting project. They just decided the timing wasn't quite right. What had been suggested earlier was that to ask the legislature just for pre-approval of bond authorization. But again, before Ada could have deployed that, they would have had to interact with local elected officials. And if there's no local government, then a group has to be appointed under ADA statutes to act and provide input like a local government would before the project could go forward.
Okay. Any further questions? Representative Pruitt in the Northeast.
Well, not questions, but just because you were indicating we were going to move the bill out, and I just I wanted to highlight, you had mentioned something about just kind of approval. Moving the bill would kind of be differentiating the policy call that's been going on here. And I guess what I wanted to say is I would support moving the bill out. I think that the change in dividend at the original bill was the appropriate thing to do, and also think that both of these projects, or what is intended with both of these projects, the continuation is appropriate. It doesn't mean that I don't think that at some point in time that, and I'll use the DeLong project, that at some point in time Ada might look at selling that. Now, I don't ever want them to give it to the borough. I don't ever want them to give it to Tech. That is an asset that we have. If they were to sell it to the borough, then the borough could make the money, and that would be a kind of a win for both of us. But while I support this moving out, I don't support us dictating necessarily to Ada how they should then go about managing the assets which are under their care. We have them as kind of the infrastructure bank for a reason, and that is because when we jump into it, we end up with fish churches, and we end up with barley silos, and we end up with other things. And so I think that when we have this conversation, they have indicated that they would like these things added because this is what's good for those projects, and this would allow those things to continue. And so with that, with them coming to us and saying we need statutory approval, but we ask that you join us in this, then that is our investment bankers coming to us and saying that we have made the analysis and we are asking you to join us in this. And but if they were to come to us in the future and say, we want to handle this a little different, we want to sell the DeLong to some entity, I would trust them to come to us, have that public discussion, and then we could join them in that analysis. But moving this out, do I want the state to control or do I want to put it up full? And I am going to allow that trust to remain with them because we have a terrible, terrible track record of getting involved ourselves with projects when we start to get a little bit political. So anyways, I just wanted to put that out there. I appreciate the bill and look forward to it continuing on in its process.
Thank you, Representative Pruitt. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the fact that there has to be local buy-in. However, you know, maybe it's because it's added here later, but I don't see anything in the packet that I have that indicates that the taxing authority of Ketchikan has taken a position on this one way or another. So although we have the representative here, I would suggest that as this goes forward, there should be taxing jurisdiction that they're in support of this, because it'd be hard on the floor to be kind of violating our assumption that there is agreement, not just with the shipyard, but with the local taxing authority. So I would request that. I'm presuming that Representative Ortiz, you're relating that has happened, but if you could make sure that we have something directly from them, that would be helpful.
Representative Ortiz?
Certainly, Mr. Co-Chair. And we do have, may not be in your packet, but I am aware of a resolution, a borough resolution that's already been put forward in support of this particular measure. I'm not sure if it's in your packet or not, but we do have one already on file, so we'll make sure it's in the packets for the floor.
Thank you.
And Representative Lincoln is also here and has heard that loud and clear, so I believe if there's some paperwork that could be forthcoming just for the floor, that we might have that. Are there any further comments on the bill? Hearing none, Vice Chair Guerra, if you could walk the committee through the fiscal notes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are three fiscal notes. OMB component 2804 is the one with the $79,600 cost. That's a fund capitalization to the Public Education Fund. And because of the change made with regard to the Ketchikan shipyard, the borough contribution of $79,600 starting in 2020 will become a state obligation. So that will start in 2020 and go out from there. There are two other fiscal notes that are zero fiscal notes. OMB component 141, Department of Education Early Development. Appropriation K-12 aid to school districts, foundation program, and they have a zero fiscal note. And then the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development in OMB component 1234 also shows a zero fiscal note. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions, Representative Wilson?
So, yeah, I have questions. So on fiscal, okay, I don't think it has some, 2804. And on the second page, it talks about the second paragraph, additionally, the statutory exemption for the Red Dog Mine sunset in November 2017. Under this bill, the exemption, the Red Dog Mine would be retroactive applied back to November 30th, 2017. So it says the state's not impacted, but is anybody impacted by this? I just don't understand why this is here.
Mr. Elwin Blackwell, if you could put yourself on the record.
Yes, my name is Elwin Blackwell. I'm the school finance manager at the Department of Education and Early Development. Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I'm going to have to get my train of thought. Sorry.
Chair.
Representative Guerra?
Just briefly, and maybe this doesn't answer your question, but I think it's a continuation of an exemption, so that's why there's no change in the fiscal note from what it was before.
But I want to know whether that there's an issue with anybody else. It says just note there's no state impact, which we, sadly enough, don't usually care about what happens to the districts. We only talk about the state. But I just wanted to see if there's any, I mean, I understand it's in addition to it, but is there any impact to the community whatsoever by making this retroactive, or why would we even make it retroactive?
Mr. Blackwell?
My understanding is the reason to make it retroactive is that currently the exemption has expired. Has sunsetted. So this would create a continuation of the sunset out to 2027 with no break in that. So there would be a continuation from when it first came into being, was extended in 2012, I believe it was, and then this would create another extension out to 2027 where there wouldn't be any break. I'm assuming that this would negate any conflict as to whether or not it's included or not included in the assessed values for the Northwest Arctic Borough.
So maybe as we're asking people questions, maybe the borough can just make sure that there's not a negative impact by, I understand it extends mm-hmm. it. But the other question I have too is that
The $79,600, it shows us being paid by general funds, but it shouldn't somewhere that it show that it's going to go into the public education fund?
Mr. Blackwell?
The fiscal note that you have shows the fund capitalization for the OMB component 2804. So in this case, the $79,600 would be the money, the general fund money, going in to capitalize the public education fund, which is the fund in which we actually pay the foundation payments out of.
Follow up? You're absolutely correct. But then when you not show change in revenue or somewhere on here, I mean, that's where the money is going, because that's normally what happens, is that if we're going to take the money and put it somewhere else, then it'll say it's going out of UGF, and then it's going to go into DGF, into the school trust fund. Because right now we're just sending it somewhere. It's not saying it's going into the school trust fund.
Mr. Blackwell?
I'll have to get back to you. I'm not sure what the response is.
I just want to make sure that if we're capitalizing something, that we're capitalizing what we think we are. And normally it's designated in the fiscal note. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Seaton.
Thank you. Can you explain in a little more detail, the $79,000 is a reduced, I believe, required local contribution because of there's less property tax value. So that is shifted to the state because the base student allocation is still going to be the same and the required local contribution is going to be less. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, that would be correct. The way the formula works, we come up to basic need, and since there is no change to that side of it, basic need would remain what it would calculate it out as. Since the required local effort for Ketchikan would go down because their assessed values would go down, the state would end up picking up that difference because we always figure out who's paying basic need by subtracting out the required local effort, subtracting out any impact aid that they may have, and then the remainder is what the state picks up. So when the required local effort goes down, it flows through and the state aid ends up going up.
Follow-up?
So I'm trying to remember which bill it was, but we had one of the bills where we did something similar, but we still required the required local effort to be sustained by the, I think it was, maybe it was Nikiski. Are you familiar with any of the other bills we've passed in like last 6 or 7 years that had a required local effort needed to be maintained by the locality because we passed an exemption, a specific exemption for property tax, but it didn't alleviate the required local effort for the schools?
Mr. Blackwell?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I am not aware of those bills in the past several years that may have seen a decrease in the assessed values or the required local contribution where they would have to maintain it. I'm not aware of any of those.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions on the fiscal notes? Hearing none. I would entertain a motion if it is the will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee substitute for House Bill 119, version 30GH1677/J, be adopted by House Finance. Oops, that's a working document. better get back.
Do over.
To the. Mr. Chair, I move the CS for House Bill 119, version 30GH1677/J from House Finance Committee with individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes.
Object.
And do we have a forthcoming fiscal note to reflect? I think we got it, didn't we? And the attached fiscal notes.
Object.
Did you say there's a potential fiscal notes? There should not be one. Okay. Okay. Thank you. And we have an objection. Representative Wilson.
Thank you. First of all, this has nothing to do with ADA. But at this point, it's a policy call, and I'm very concerned by it because we have a private company who I am sure is not taking a yearly loss. And now there's one other portion that they don't have to make up when they're talking about how much money they make. I probably might have been okay if we took the $79,600 and the company had to pay it and be part of their lease. But to say that they're off the hook for any kind of property taxes when we have private business, I'm also concerned that we're going to set a precedence. And so when ADA does go out, people might think it's better for them to own it versus to lease it because now we're making a call here that you can have a profitable business. And obviously it's not profiting enough to get, and I don't know what the I didn't really get a good feel on how much profit they had to make before certain things kicked in. I don't know whether 10% or 15%, but what kind of profit had to be made. I am very supportive of the Red Dog portion that's in here, and I do encourage ADA to look. And I'm perfectly fine if Red Dog owns it because they would be the ones maintaining, or if the borough did. I mean, whatever fair market value is, I want to make sure that we're not saying just because they're a mine they shouldn't own the road. You know, the port might be a little different because more people may use the port, but the road itself, I can't imagine they wouldn't keep it up in very good order since they're the ones that utilize it. But this is sometimes what happens when you do. I also want to put on record because I hear this one's going to have another baby possibly. But if we get more information on the Fairbanks project that's been mentioned here and how Pentex will or won't be taxed as well and whether or not anything we're doing in this bill might hamper whether or not the borough is able to tax any other kinds of things that have to do with ADA projects that are being owned. But my objection today is basically I haven't had enough time to really understand till today what it did, and I don't know whether it's really a good policy call at this point for the state and the fiscal situation that we're in to take it on as a state versus if a private company is making enough profit, why they don't pitch in at least something to the community. Because right now, I mean, they're pitching in jobs, but financially they are giving nothing to Ketchikan, and maybe the details need to be reworked so that they don't have to make as much profit before they have to get back to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Do we have any further comments? Representative Pruitt and then Stutes.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I appreciate the points that my colleague is bringing up. I mean, it's definitely a concern. We don't want an organization that is going to go through and get in the way or do things that the private sector might be able to do. And she's spot on. The one thing, though, that I would highlight, and I'm going to use FedEx as a good example, and why sometimes ADA probably has to look at the situation that might exist and have to change the manner in which they make their investment. FedEx, for example, does not own any of their buildings. When we built the ground facility in Anchorage, it was actually the son of the guy who had built the hub there in Anchorage was building the facility, and he owned all of the newer ground facilities, and FedEx leased them from him. And that's just their model. Their model is to not own any facilities. They lease all their facilities. And so this is almost 30 years ago now, when ADA had to sit down and have this conversation with them, how did they guarantee that they would bring a hub and keep it there? In that particular case, they came up with a lease arrangement. And so I think that while Representative is spot on, I think there's also some times where ADA has to kind of make some adjustments that might have be a little different or out of ordinary. And I think that's from the time when I went down to Ketchikan and visited the shipyard. That was my experience, is that it was actually they were concerned about it closing then and some of the jobs that might come out of it then. And I think they're having to try to kind of think a little outside the box on this one, and yet it does bring a little bit of cost to the state, and that the concern is quite valid there. But I'm also concerned about the jobs that wouldn't be people that wouldn't be working in Ketchikan, because it's a pretty big employer. At least that was my experience when I was there at the time, as well as having someone local that we can send our ferries to, so that they can do the work on the ferry. So, I support it moving out, but I don't take the comments from the representative, they are something that we do need to continue to maintain concern on, and that is that ADA does need to be very cautious, though, about not doing something that where the private sector should be stepping in. So, but with that, I appreciate the conversation on it.
Representative Stutz and then Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also appreciate the comments that have been made, but I think that the Ketchikan situation needs to be looked at a little differently because I think it really adds tremendously to the community on insofar as an economic basis and the people that it employs. And it's also a huge asset to the state in relation to the ferry repairs. I believe there's one other shipyard possibly in the state of Alaska that can accommodate those ferries, and their rates are so horribly outrageous that it would whatever you think that we might be losing in relation to the shipyard in Ketchikan, I believe that we're making up in relation to having the ability to have our Alaska Marine Highway addressed in that capacity. So I don't really see I think we're talking apples and oranges when we're talking about the DeLong Road and then the Ketchikan Shipyard. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. You know, the language that's used, we have an operating agreement or we have a lease. And I've always been under the impression that you have an operating agreement because you've hired somebody to run something for you. I understand that. And a lease is when somebody pays you, ADA or the state, for the use of that particular mine or shipyard or whatever, and that would be a lease. So that's where I get confused with the language of an operating agreement or a lease. Under a lease, it would be taxable. The railroad has tons of property in Fairbanks where they have somebody move into one of their buildings and pays the railroad money, and that's a lease. So that then becomes a taxable product there in the Fairbanks North Star Borough. But to use the language operating agreement to get around taxes, sometimes I don't feel that that's quite correct. I'm not going to stop this bill. I think it's very important to Ketchikan more than the road up in up to the mine, but both of them are important economic development and ongoing economic projects. So I want to go ahead and see this move, but I really think that the operating agreement, lease, are two completely different things that are being intermixed here.
Do we have any further comments? Hearing none, is the objection maintained?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
The objection is maintained. If the Secretary could please call the roll.
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Guerra?
Yes.
Representative Stutz?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Kawasaki?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Pruitt?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Representative Seaton?
Yes.
9 yea, 2 nay.
And so on a vote of 9 yea to 2 nay. HB 119 version 30-GH1677/J has passed with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes. And we decided possibly forthcoming note to replace the fund capitalization note. That's not required. Okay. So with that, HB 119 has passed out of House Finance. And is there anything else to come before the committee today? Representative Wilson?
As everybody's aware, one contract has already come back, and there's five more out there. And unless finance looks at them and makes a decision, they're automatically okayed. I think in our fiscal situation we're at right now, I would suggest that if we don't have anything else coming up, that we at least review this particular one, because normally when you have one come back, they kind of set the precedence for the rest of those. And I think it would be worthwhile to find out what the justification was coming back with an $18 million increase starting this next fiscal year.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Any other comments? Seeing none, we will announce our next regularly scheduled meeting We're going to recess this one out. I don't intend to have any finance meetings this weekend. We're going to be working on some of the bigger issues this weekend. And so with that, I will go ahead and recess us out at 2:57 p.m. Thank you.